And last week we celebrated Epiphany and we spoke about vision. We talked about revelation and just as Rhonda mentioned, 2020 vision is clarity, right? It implies clarity, it implies assurance of what we're going to be doing ahead. But we also spoke about the impact of revelation in our lives. Epiphany is that time of year where we consider how this revelation has impacted us, the revelation of the Son of God, Jesus, coming to earth. And today we're continuing that celebration, and we're continuing on a little bit from the text that we studied last week in Matthew, in chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. The pages are on the screen for the Bibles on the pews. If you have your Bible on your phone, you can look it up. If you have your handy physical Bible, please join us as we read this section of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. And it says as follows. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." And when Herod said that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated. And he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." And then Joseph got up, took the child and his mom, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There, he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. Let's pray. Lord, again, we find ourselves in your presence. And we're grateful for you being here with us. And again, we ask that you may look at our hearts, that we may have open hearts for you to speak to us this morning. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, Revelation is the theme of Epiphany, and we have learned that it is understood in two ways, at least what the dictionary tells us, right? Revelation is a previously and surprisingly unknown fact. The divine or supernatural disclosure to humans of something relating to human existence or the world. These are the two things that we spoke about last week. And we worked on that definition, on what was disclosed to Joseph, but mainly we were talking about these Magi folks, right? These characters that come from the East because they also have some knowledge. And then they have revelation about that knowledge and come in to Judea to find this child. You see, they also were told that the boy was to be found in Judea. And going through King Herod and finding the boy, they honored him. And after, we see that they are also revealed, they have also revealed not to go back to the king, right? And they escape, they go elsewhere, take another route. And now we're left with an interaction that focuses back on this Joseph. Now, Joseph must have been a special guy. I say this because I'm not sure if you think about everything that's happened in these few verses, what's really going on. He got all kinds of revelation. This guy was a dreamer. But not only was he a dreamer, but God spoke to him. Now imagine yourself being guided through life in all its major decisions. Now think about that. I want you to think about what it is to have guidance, counsel, and all major decisions of your life. What would that be like? What would it be like if you had professional help, right, to make decisions about finances, about your mate, about the job you're going to take, about which college you want to go to, about business, about choosing a doctor. Going to a hospital. I mean, there's so many things that are unknown to us, right? And we just thrown in this world and expected to figure this out on our own. I don't think that's fair. But what if you had supernatural help? What if you had supernatural guidance? I mean, not professional guidance, not a lawyer, not a doctor, but a voice in your head that spoke to you. And not many that would be saying, man, you're hearing things, brother. What would you do? How would you react? Well, maybe a more pertinent question is, have you ever heard the voice of God? Okay, I see some heads nodding. Yes. But I have to tell you this one thing. Even if Christ himself came and spoke to you, you would have doubts. Even if Christ, God himself, appeared to you and said, Ruben, don't do that, you would think about it twice. All right, case in point. This is my test sample, the disciples, right? The disciples walk along with Jesus. They're being taught. They're being spoken to. They know this guy. They believe he is the one that has been sent from God. And then Jesus tells them, I got to die. What do they say?
No.
Oh, no, no. They said, cool. Right? I'm just kidding. Says, I got to die. And their reaction is exactly that. No, don't die. No, don't do that because I have my hopes in you. Your physical self who has manifested itself to us here in this place. We want to keep that. You see how a human will works? I mean, it's weird, right? Because now that we have hindsight, which is 2020, I'm just, you know, playing with that. We have hindsight that is 2020. We know better, right? But that's not the way it was. Why is this? Why is this that our minds do this? And I think that the reason why this happens is that it is hard to discern truth. It is difficult to work our way through what is truth and what is the thing to do, what is the reasonable thing for us to do in the natural realm. See, this is why I think Joseph was a special guy, because, and believe me, Joseph was a special guy, but Mary too, right? I don't want to dismiss her. Yeah. All right, we're in times that we recognize the equality of women, but not only the equality, but the significance, right? Mary also had revelation, and guess what? She said, "May it be done, your will." Yes. Right? I'll go along with this. It is you. I'll follow. So Joseph, I mean, it's in terms of what I understand, he's also doing the same thing. They both were special. Why were they special? Because they followed the voice of God. Amen. They trusted God. This was not just that God appeared, gave them a message, and they started to think, wow, that was odd. Right? I've never heard this before. What in the world's going on here? Well, they says, you know, this may be something that's important for me to pay attention to and to follow. So I think that they were special because they did follow. It is hard to classify that. I mean, why you could say, oh, you know, they were faithful, right? You could say they were, you know, followers, they were good people. I mean, I don't know. How do you qualify that? How do you put it in a box? That they were in tune with the heavenlies, you know, that they had connections. I don't know. I wonder if they were just senseless robots that simply followed instructions that were coming in their heads. Right? Believe me, today, in this culture, followers of Jesus are sometimes thought of as robots. Mindless. That don't have any ability to judge what is reasonable. See, we struggle with the supernatural. We struggle with that. We struggle because it is obviously not natural. Not only that, but the supernatural doesn't necessarily agree with our sensibilities. Hear this. You know that we always think of the what if, right? Well, I'm going to marry this girl, but what if? Well, I'm going to take this job, but what if? You see, that's where indecision comes. We struggle especially because these sensibilities of ours get in the way. And it gets more complex when you think about the consequences of our actions. And I have an example for the reading. I hope I'm not losing you here. Think about this. Joseph is told to take his family and escape to Egypt, right? What does Joseph do?
He goes.
We're told, right?
Yes.
It's a boy, it's a woman, they run out. Not only that, but Matthew tells us this is to fulfill what the prophet said. Right? We're given this piece of information. Then we're told that King Herod gets infuriated, and what does he do? He kills kids. He kills kids. Babies. And you see, we read this passage and we say, oh, it's okay. I mean, did you hear what happened? Because of Joseph's decision to take the boy, because of the Magi's decisions to go another way, Herod kills a bunch of kids, a whole generation of people. And we look at that, and if we are sensible to it, we are saying to ourselves, how in the world can this God do this? This doesn't make any sense. Isn't this a loving God? What in the world's going on?
Cross.
What kind of God is that? You see, if you think about it, we should be affected by this. Isn't it against all ethical work? I mean, we have standards, right? We have morals, we have ethics. Isn't it against all ethical work? One of those things that is work, you know, in this thing, whether how you discern to do the right thing is that you consider the welfare of the most, right?
Yes.
And you may sacrifice the few for those, right? How in the world do you sacrifice the more for the few? It doesn't make any sense. And all that just to fulfill prophecy? Come on. Give me a break. There's something wrong here. I cannot get this God. Do you see the problem with our sensibilities? Do you see what happens? That's exactly what the world is thinking today. They hear of this God, they read scripture, or at least they hear about scripture. And there's instances when God is doing things that we think are way out of hand. You see the dilemma? I certainly cannot understand how a loving God can allow this to happen. It doesn't make sense to me. War doesn't make sense to me. Does it to you? Still, war exists. Somebody taking somebody else's purse doesn't make sense to me. Spousal abuse doesn't make any sense, and still God allows this to happen. How in the world is this happening? Isn't this a loving God? That's it. So these are two aspects of this reality that I think are important for us to think about and consider. First, we have a timeless God. Please think about that. Please keep that in your mind as you move forward in this world. God does not attach his own self to time. God is. You see, when God appears to Moses and Moses asks him, hey, Lord, who am I going to say that sent me? What did God say? All right. He didn't say, hey, I'm That was. He didn't say, I will be, right?
Right.
He said, I am. Period. So God does not think in terms of what we think in time. God is timeless. So the second thing that I think it's important for us to keep in mind is because God is timeless, the Lord's understanding of the sacrifice of the few for the many is different than ours. God doesn't think locally. He thinks worldwide. And even though you're important as an individual, you're not all of that. In this case, saving the life of one was worth saving the whole world. See, those children died, but that was worth the salvation of humankind. Now, please understand, still, even though we may know these things, the struggle is real. Even if we could have a time machine, maybe we would get it, you know, because we could see ahead of us, right? And we could see what's going on. And then we have revelation that's being transmitted to us through Scripture, right? It's being transmitted to us through awareness, through knowledge of what that Scripture means, and we still struggle. It's hard. It's hard to accept death, no matter how it's justified. Well, for some people, because others don't really care. Herod didn't care, did he? Right? Actually, he's the one that killed the kids. It wasn't God, was it? Somebody made the decision to do that. We blame God, but in reality, it was Herod who killed the kids. Our problem is that we who are believers struggle with discernment. Struggle with figuring out this world of ours, especially when we're making the decision to follow God's vision of the world. Especially when we are trying to align ourselves to God's will. See, discernment is a spiritual endeavor that absolutely requires our participation. It's not only a matter of having revelation. It's not only a matter of having God speak to you. Now you have to make decisions. We may hear, we may read, we may learn, but still we need to figure out what the next step is in our lives. So that means it requires our active participation. Amen. It requires study. It requires contemplation, meditation. It requires prayer. It requires our effort. And I tell you, this is the thing about this discernment issue, is that none of us are qualified for it. None of us, without some help. That's why God has left help for us. He has left a counselor. And in this case, this counselor is a professional. Right? He's not only professional, but he's from the heavenlies. And this counselor is ready to guide and lead us. It's called the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, we do have the assistance that we need in all of our decisions. And the fact is that the only way that we will walk with confidence is when we have peace about our decisions. Right? And the only way to obtain peace in our lives, true peace, is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see, I was thinking when I chose this title, I was thinking that the after party was what happened after Jesus escapes to Egypt, right? And the party really becomes a very negative thing. But the fact is that that is not the after party. The after party is what happened to us.
Amen.
It's the Spirit of God being alive today.
Right.
This is not what happened 2,000 years ago, but because of what happened 2,000 years ago, you and I have hope.
Amen.
Amen. Last week I mentioned a little bit about how I made the decision to come or to leave a very secure job in Washington State, a place that I loved, and I went to study theology. You know, come on, right? How in the world do you make those decisions? And I shared a little bit about, you know, how I, you know, took a couple of hints here and there with my daughter, my wife. But I have to tell you what the true reason of me making decisions like that was. It's because I have peace.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
You see, and the peace didn't come because I was going to have security.
Right.
God knows that was not the reason why it was. God knows. But I was trusting in this one God. Before I made that decision, I was trusting in this guy. And I struggled with that for 10 years. You see, I'm slow and stupid. But when I got it, I got peace. And I said, okay, Father, you know what? I've had all these struggles. I've struggled with how is it that you're going to make this happen? How is it that I'm going to make it? How am I going to sustain my family? How am I going to do financially? What about my retirement? What about all this health? You know, health issues. What about? I mean, I had all these things in my head. Don't we have all this stuff in our heads, inundating our thoughts all the time? No wonder we're stuck. And it wasn't until I quieted all those voices down and I said, okay, God, I know you're calling me. I know that you got something for me and I don't know what it is, but I can trust you. And I can move. Only then was I okay with it. And I tell you, I needed to have that okay and that peace because I didn't really know what was coming. There's no way I was going to be prepared for that. Working full time and studying a master's degree, a person that doesn't like to read, it doesn't make any sense. 700 page books. What in the world are you doing to me? We struggle. The reality is that we struggle. Struggle with ourselves. And that's why we need in this year, 2020, to have the clarity that comes with the vision of God. Trust Him. Trust God. Because God has the timeless truth that we all need.
Amen.
But to trust God, we need to be in tune with God. To trust God, we need to be walking with God. To trust God, we have to have our eyes open. Not to what's going on around us. Not to all the problems and difficulties. Not to what every temptation that is going around us, but to what God is saying.
Yes. Amen.
So for this year, 2020, I still pray, and we still continue to pray, that our vision be guided by that supernatural power of our God. Mm-hmm. And we may learn to trust, be equipped by this Holy Spirit of God, that this relationship with the Father will increase, will continue to work its way through us and lead us in all of our ways. And today I said amen, and amen, and amen. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you this morning, grateful again for this presence, grateful again for this.
We ask God that we would